Chapter 10, Section 4, The Different Forms of Disruption. One of the more interesting discussions in recent times has been Professor Jill Lepore's arguments against Clayton Christensen's concept of disruptive innovation. In her now famous New Yorker 2014 article on the disruption machine, Lepore argued that disruptive innovation doesn't really explain change, but is instead mostly an artifact of history, a way of looking at the past and is unpredictable. Christensen naturally countered. For me, this really was a non-argument. What I had determined back in 2008 was there are many forms of disruption, some of which are predictable and some of which aren't. When the argument started then from my perspective, both Christensen and Lepore were right and wrong. The problem stems from the issue that they're not arguing over the same thing. The three main forms of potential disruption that we will discuss are genesis, product-to-product substitution and product-to-utility business model substitution. The genesis of new acts are inherently unpredictable. If some novel activity appears that genuinely alters pre-existing value chains, then there's little you can do to predict this, you have to simply adapt. When product-to-product substitution occurs due to some new capability or feature, then the predictability of when and what is low. The when depends upon individual actors' actions and this is unknown. Equally, the addition of some new capability is also inherently unpredictable. Note, we know that things will evolve and the pathway for evolution, from genesis to commodity, but we don't know nor can we predict the individual steps such as this product will beat that product. This means a new entrant can at any time create a disruptive product that will substitute an existing market, but a company will have no way of ascertaining when that will occur or what it will be. Though this does happen, in the time of peace, the time of product giants, then such changes are less frequent than the rampage of sustaining changes. There are exceptions, and Apple's iPhone disrupting the BlackBerry is a good example of this type of disruption. I'll note that Christensen quite famously dismissed the iPhone and has subsequently gone on to claim it's not an example of it. In any case, this sort of substitution is unpredictable. Equally, hydraulic versus cable excavators would fall into this category. They are easy to analyze post-event but next to impossible to determine pre-event. In these instances, Lepore seems to be on firm footing. With product-to-utility substitution, the what and when can be anticipated. We know we're going to enter a state of war, an explosion of higher-order systems, co-evolution of practice, disruption of past vendors stuck behind inertia barriers and so forth. Weak signals in the forecondition, suitability, technology, concept and attitude, can give us an idea of when it will happen. In any case, even without the weak signals, the transition to more industrialized forms is inevitable if competition exists. So, we can be prepared. A new entrant can more effectively target this change to disrupt others. However, it also means an existing player can effectively mount a defense, having prior knowledge of the change and time to prepare. Fortunately for the new entrants, the incredibly low levels of situational awareness that exists in most industry, combined with the inertia faced by incumbents in terms of existing business models, developed practices, technological debt, behavioral norms, financial incentives, Wall Street expectations and self-interest are often insurmountable, and hence the startups often wins when they shouldn't. Whilst the change is entirely defendable against, with often many decades of prior warning, companies fail to do so. This form of disruption is entirely predictable, and it is here where Christensen's theory excels. The more industrialized forms are considered lower quality, not meeting the performance requirements and usually dismissed by the incumbents. Hence, let us follow the evolution of an act. We start, in figure 130, with the appearance of some new activity A1. It is found useful and starts to diffuse with custom-built examples. As it evolves, early products start to appear and we jump across one inertia barrier from custom-built to products, point 1. Obviously, those companies that have invested in their own custom solution argue that their solution is better, but eventually pressure mounts and they adopt a product. The act continues to evolve with a constant stream of more feature-complete products as we understand the space. Sometimes the progression is sustaining, but sometimes a product appears that substitutes the previous examples. There's inertia to the change. Point 2, from customers and vendors invested in the existing product line. The thing is, we don't really know if this new product line is going to be successful, any more than Apple knew it could beat BlackBerry or others. This form of disruption is unpredictable. Someone wins. The product giants continue to grow until eventually the act becomes suitable for industrialized provision. New entrants jump the barrier first. Point 3, and this barrier is significant. That act has become established in many value chains and it is highly connected with its own practices. There's a lot of dismissal of the industrialized version, claims it will take a long time, but the punctuated equilibrium bites, the past vendors are struggling, practices have co-evolved and the old way is now legacy. Many past vendors start the death spiral in the hope of recapturing their glory days, their demise accelerates. This form of disruption was predictable, but for most it wasn't. Of course, the world has moved on to inventing novel and new things built upon these industrialized components. Point 4, new forms of organization appear based upon those co-evolved practices. A next generation of future giants has arisen. Whether we notice them depends upon whether the cycle is localized at a microeconomic scale to a specific industry, or in other cases the component is so vastly connected it appears at a macroeconomic scale. In any case, the cycle continues. Bada boom. Bada bing. See figure 130, different types of disruption. For more details.